awesome. It works. Hey, we're just recording now the Growth Gets It podcast with Giancarlo, our special guest, one of our law clerks. So, Giancarlo, this is our I think, weekly podcast. We have this thing where it's on, what are all the different types? Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Does Pandora have a podcast? Is anybody even going to Pandora anymore?
I don't think so.
It used to be the coolest one was Pandora, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it was not like the first before Spotify became the one. Mm-hmm. Pandora was your way to get music and podcasts, and even really before podcasts were cool. Mm-hmm. So how do you get all your podcasts and music?
I usually get it through a mix of YouTube and Spotify. So I watch a lot of sports podcasts.
Okay.
And usually they're on YouTube. If not, I'll go on Spotify. But it doesn't really matter. I guess sometimes I like to see the interaction, especially if it's like a heated debate. I like seeing like the faces and the interaction. So I usually go on YouTube.
So that's really, that's more like watching a debate program back mm-hmm. in the day with like, I don't know, who are the, you know, the firing line or something on CNN, you know, back mm-hmm. in the 70s and 80s, William F. Buckley and whoever else he would debate. So you're watching YouTube podcasts, but it's just videos of people recording a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to how SportsCenter does, or how they did First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
But the ones I watch are more on a local perspective. So for my local home teams, which I found gives a better perspective on what's actually going on.
So let's go back to that. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Miami, Florida.
And you're going to law school where?
Marquette Law School.
And where did you go for your undergraduate degree?
Florida State University.
FSU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's the big quarterback for FSU now?
There is no big quarterback for FSU.
Oh, is that probably a sore subject?
I mean, it is what it is. I was there for a national championship. That's all I could ask for.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I have this argument with my friends where he still believes in the current quarterback, and I do not think he's any good.
Okay.
So that's just a little debate we have going on. He's basically one of those kids who doesn't really throw the ball well. He just runs a lot. So we have the argument whether that would translate to the professionals, which I don't think it will.
Yeah, Michael Vick-ish, I guess. I don't know.
A very, very, very poor man's Michael Vick.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't run that well either, but...
Okay, well, sorry. Now we're digressing into sports podcast. Growth Gets It, sports podcasting. So we're really good at tangents on this thing. So we're talking about our podcast. So thank you for being willing to sit down and talk for a little bit. So your undergraduate degree was in what?
So I graduated with a major in history, and I got a minor in criminology and general business as well.
And with a history major, minor in general business and criminology, law school is the option, huh?
That seemed to be the case. I've always had it implanted. You know, I was the son of two immigrants. My mom, from the second I could understand anything, she said, one day you're going to be a lawyer.
Okay.
So that was always imprinted on my mind. Even going to law school, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do in the law, but I knew my mom always told me, one day you're going to be a lawyer. So I stuck with that.
Interesting.
It was very, you know, they worked hard jobs. My mom would work certain jobs so that she can still raise us and not have to put us in an after-school program where she would never see us. And I've seen her go through some hard times, so I knew that I was going to make good on what she wanted for me.
Good for you. That's awesome. Yeah, there's, I think, just lots of doors can be opened if you go to law school, become a lawyer, well, have a Juris Doctorate. You don't even have to practice law, but you can certainly do a lot of different things. I mean, there's, and this is Marquette, right? I mean, the with the Sports Law Institute, I had classmates of mine and some people who were a couple classes below me or after me in law school who went on to be athletic directors and assistant athletic directors and that kind of stuff. So you just never know. And I don't know if they ever even practiced law per se. They went right into the sports management kind of program. And certainly having a law degree helped them because now they're very, very successful in the sports law.
It definitely seems like a do-it-all degree. I guess it's just, you know, you can go into any field and it may not be required, but the fact that you have it is always a big plus. Other than obviously can't go into medicine with a law degree, but for the most part, anything else, having the law degree really helps. I did some internships working in compliance at some athletic departments, and both of my supervisors were had law degrees, even though they weren't using them.
Cool. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other classmates of mine and what they're doing. Gosh, I had classmates of mine that went to medical school first, then went to law school, and they chose their law degree over the medical because they still practice law today. Interesting. All right. Well, let's talk about some stuff you're doing here.
Sure.
Thank you for sharing your history with us. So right now you're clerking here at Growth Law Firm, and you are, I know I pulled you away from a project from Attorney Truesdale that you're doing some citation checking for a brief that he's working on.
Yes.
Do you know what just the general facts of that brief are, what the case is?
Yeah. So he didn't show me the entire case. Basically, it was, seemed like a minor point on damages. I guess there was an argument whether the plaintiff can collect damages. I guess they were arguing if they can collect damages because they made them update their itemized list of damages.
Okay.
So then there was an argument of from what point to what point can you collect damages? So from the date of the accident to the date of the trial. And Ryan was telling me, he's like, this is kind of a given, so I don't know if you're going to find anything.
Yeah.
But
it's
so
kind of too obvious. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Right?
So it was like a too obvious point to argue. So most of the cases I found, I wasn't really able to find anything explaining it, but it was just a given.
Yeah.
It said, here are the damages from the date of the accident to the date of the trial. And there's no explanation because it's kind of just a given. So I just, you know, I sent them some of that. And
well, that's what lawyers are good for, is to make an argument over nothing.
Yeah.
So that sounds like it's so obvious that somebody's going to come up and say, oh, I think we're going to argue that point because I want to just argue for the sake of arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, that's the case. And sadly, that's why I think lawyers have jobs, because we have just that mentality that, well, this isn't totally explicit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try to see if my side can win by throwing some mud against the wall and seeing if it sticks. Interesting. So you're doing that. You're helping out with some brief writing. And then what else are you doing? I know we talked about some demands that you're helping to write. What kind of, I guess, as an educational podcast here, what part of the case is that, and what are you doing to help out the attorneys?
So mainly I've focused solely on demands right now. You know, I'll keep getting more stuff on my plate as I go along. So essentially that is the part where we are reaching out to the insurance and saying basically, this is what happened. This is the injury that was sustained. And we are, you know, demanding that they pay X amount, saying we have spoken to our client, or we suggest that they take anything at X amount of dollars.
Sure.
You know, and then we would wait for a response from them and then go from there.
And you're looking over all the medical records, probably the case file, to see what the facts of the case are, to see if there's any concerns over liability and contributory negligence or comparative negligence, probably.
And it's definitely painting a picture, because you have all these medical records from several different dates, and you have to progress and show what the harm is and how it's progressing, the treatment, how they're feeling, has there been any setbacks? And then you also, I think a trick to it that I also picked up doing an internship last summer that I don't think a lot of people realize is that it's a skill to know how to explain things to someone who doesn't have your education or your law degree.
To tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's a really big thing, because I've been in classes and I've spoken to people on both ends where they will explain it, and in their head, it's very simple, but the way they send it out, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of the struggle, not really a struggle, but it's one of the things you have to take account of when you read it. Be like, I understand it, but if the other person who's actually receiving it has to take action on that, doesn't understand it, then you're not doing a good job. It may sound as, you know, as eloquent as you want and have all the nice vocabulary, but if the person reading it that has to do something doesn't understand it, then it's not really doing its job.
Yeah. What can you say? What can you get across to that person that's going to make them move, you know, make them take action, open their pocketbook or respond in a certain way, right? Well, that goes back to your history major. So I guess being a good communicator, you know, and you know, presidents wise, you have President Roosevelt, President Reagan, President Clinton, who are good communicators, And then you have presidents who are probably smarter, like President Carter, who I think was a rocket scientist, pretty darn close to a rocket scientist. And I think history says he's one of the worst presidents because he didn't have that ability to communicate. You know, he had a speech called The Malaise. You know, he was talking about the malaise of America, when if he would have used different words and communicated in a different fashion, he might have been a two-term president. But anyway, I digress. But it's just interesting because that's a fantastic point, that if you can't communicate properly with the other side and know what they want and how you can get your point across to them, it's going to be difficult to really accomplish your goals. There's a book that I'm in the middle of listening to, and I can't remember the name of it, but I think it's called Never Split the Difference. It's a really good book. You should read it. It's a former, I think he's an FBI negotiator, and he just talks about the use of words, the use of inflection in your voice. And if you have a certain inflection up or down, and then kind of certain patterns in how you talk, it can really change what somebody else perceives you and perceives what you want. So it's just interesting to think of something not with what you want, but what with somebody else or what they are seeing and what action you want them to perform when they're listening to your words and your inflection and your demeanor in general.
And I think that applies not only to the law. I think that applies in all walks of life and in all aspects of life, because, you know, that's, in a sense, that's what got me into history to begin with. That's what gave me the passion for history. Going back a little bit of my past, in high school, my school had two history teachers. One of them was a genius. You know, he knew everything, but it was like a textbook. He just memorized everything. He recited back to you. And then that was half the school got put on that with that teacher. And I think it was just my class and one other that we got put with another teacher, where he would, as freshmen in high school, you know, you're very nervous about your first day of high school. And then here comes this teacher that, you know, we're talking about Nixon. He brings like a Richard Nixon mask, puts it on and starts acting in the class. If he's talking about a war, he's throwing chairs, throwing desks. He's making it really interesting, mm-hmm. where you feel like you're living out that history that he's talking about, whether it's something serious or it's something, you know, whether it's a war or just a person's background. He would always act it out or do things that, you know, young, impressionable minds relate to. So from that day on, I mean, I still keep in touch with him, you know, someone that I met when I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I feel the need to, whenever I go back, I message him, would you like to have lunch? Hey, I'm one year away from getting my law degree. And he influenced me that much that he may not have been as smart or known everything off the top of his head like the other teacher, but he impacted me in a way because I understood everything he was saying and he painted a picture. So when I think about it, I can picture, I guess, myself there, how the events took place.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very good point. You know, when we're talking about painting a picture or telling a story, that's what our job is as attorneys, you know, as trial attorneys, being advocates for others, being able to tell their story and get the most important parts of what happened in their life after a car crash or something else, and be able to express that to the insurance company, to that one adjuster, so that adjuster gets it. And then if the adjuster doesn't, and then it has to go to an attorney, how do you get your point across? You tell your client's story to that attorney, and then ultimately to 12 strangers, you know, and have that theater where I've had that exact situation where you have the theater of trial, where you're jumping from one side to the other side, and you have your exhibits and writing things on the whiteboard or having video or all those things to keep the, you know, the jury engaged, and at the same time express the main points of your argument to the judge, the jury, and defense counsel. So yeah, that's a very good point where you're talking about the ability to communicate with other people, and that's a fantastic attribute to have as an attorney.
And I think most importantly, it helps you with your client, because your client may or may not have the same level of education or understanding of the law as you do. So it's important when you have a client, you know, let's say you're at trial and the client is with you, if they don't understand anything you're saying and you're making arguments for them, they may not feel like they're being represented correctly because the way you speak, if you speak in a way that they don't understand, or you, I guess, just try to show them what you know instead of showing that you really understand mm-hmm. them and make their arguments for them, then they won't feel like they're getting represented properly. Even if you're doing everything right, you want your client to know that you understand them and that you are fighting for them. And when they hear you talk to them and on behalf of them, they feel like, okay, my point that I want to get across is being put across.
Yeah. Well, and that's speaking with somebody, not speaking at somebody, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's fantastic. And having the client's expectations in mind from the very beginning and knowing what their background is so you can really understand what you have to do to tell their story and be together on the same page when you're advocating for that client. Boy, so what should this podcast be called? I think it's kind of, we went from your background in history, criminology, business, to FSU quarterbacks, to just general how to be a good communicator. What does it take to be a good lawyer? What kind of communication skills do you need to be a good lawyer? You know, something along those lines. That can mm-hmm. be the title of this podcast. We were going to talk about the two demands. Yes. That's what we talked about off of our recording here. So there's this one, there's the one that this kid fell on ice. Mm-hmm. What was leaving school and walked out and fell on ice? Is that what happened?
It was during class. So I'm assuming from the facts that they were doing homework. I'm assuming sitting in their chairs doing their homework. And then the child needed assistance with the homework, but the teacher was, I don't know, either taking a smoke break or something, that the teacher was outside. So when the student was told that the teacher was outside, she went outside looking for help. And then as she was outside looking for help is when she slipped on the ice.
Okay. So it's a matter of, it's called the Safe Place Law in Wisconsin. Did the property manager, the owner of the property, keep the property as safe as the nature of the property would reasonably permit? Mm-hmm. And maybe it was black ice that you wouldn't really see it. It looks more wet than it does slippery. So the kid fell. And then depending on the age of the child, is the child contributorily, or can they be even held contributorily negligent? If they're 5 years old, they can't, for example. So that's interesting. Okay, and then the other case, what's the other fact scenario?
The child was younger. The child was 2 years old. In the previous case, I think the child was 10 or 11. So in this one, the facts were a little not specific. So he was sitting on a teacher's lap on a stage. And it sounded like it was like a pop-up stage, one of mm-hmm. those, I guess, like those cafeteria tables that you fold or whatnot.
Sure.
And then I guess as another student stepped onto that stage, something collapsed, either the stage on itself or there was some sort of collapse where...
Some failure, yeah, some mechanical failure, I'll call it.
Yes, yeah, some mechanical failure where the child broke or fractured one of his toes, I believe,
okay,
somewhere on the foot.
So that, again, is a premises liability mm-hmm. type case, and it would be a safe place statute kind of case that did the school or the property owner keep the property or that stage as safe as the nature of the property would reasonably permit? And did the teacher, being the person in charge, break any protocols or any rules or any standards that you shouldn't have X number of pounds on that stage? Mm-hmm. And I would say it's pretty obvious that they broke those standards, that they violated the standards, because the proof's in the pudding, right? That
either on the teacher's end, or if this is some mechanical failure, there may be some locks in place that were not properly secured. Yeah. So that wasn't clear, but it's definitely one of those two.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, those are not your typical cases. It's not like somebody's rear-ended by a mm-hmm. drunk driver.
Well, so far that's 100% of the ones I've seen. So I look forward to expanding and looking at all the different types of cases that
cool.
we get.
Cool, cool. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Boy, we've covered a lot of topics here. So you are a 2L.
3L.
You're a 3L.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you said a year. You said you're a history teacher, that you're going to be done in a year.
Yes. So in May 2023.
Oh, that's not a year. That's only like...
Oh, I guess. A school year. One school year.
One school year.
Yeah, I was thinking of a school year.
Because that's, gosh, I mean, that's only 7 months, 8 months away, right?
Mm-hmm. It's very, I definitely had those last first day feels when I feel like my entire life I've been in school. So this is.
Well, you if you're a lifelong learner, that's a good thing. So you may be in the school of hard knocks going forward, but you won't be in a classroom school. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. Cool. Well, thank you for the time. I appreciate you taking the time away from Attorney Truesdale and his briefing that he has you helping out with. So good luck with everything. And hopefully we can have you back in the next couple of weeks. We can talk about other topics. So
thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.